and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you're tuned in again to the broadcast, and we're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 4, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse number 22. Jesus has read out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, as we know it. He has told about these things, prophesied that they are about him, and that this day, as he speaks to those folks some 2,000 years ago, they have come to pass. There's some things in Isaiah 61 that Jesus didn't read about the judgment, the vengeance of the Lord that's coming. And the reason that he didn't read about that, because the time of his ministry and the fulfilling of his gospel was not that time of vengeance. That time of vengeance is coming. It will come, and each and every person needs to be ready for that. The only way that someone can stand in the vengeance of the Lord being administered is to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, having your sins forgiven, washed away by his blood, cleansed by his sacrifice, clothed in his righteousness is the only way that one will be able to stand. And by virtue of the salvation of the soul and these things that I've mentioned, they will stand with the Lord in the day of his vengeance. These people are in a strait that the Lord speaks to in verse 22. And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And so they have doubt, because they're going by what they see and what they think they know rather than what they have heard. And we all need to hear and believe the Lord, no matter what we think, no matter what we see, no matter what we think we know. We need to believe our Lord. Verse 23, "And he said unto them, He will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth." So the Lord Jesus Christ is getting ready to deal a truthful blow to the inhabitants of Nazareth. And the thing is, the blow that he will deal them is the truth. Indeed, it is the truth. It's not the Lord being cruel, but he's being truthful. Because, see, the truth must always be faced, acknowledged, and agreed to before there can be some help. That's just always, always, always the way that it is. And so he tells them that they're going to take a proverb and they're going to throw it back in his face and in his teeth. And they're going to say, "You healer, you physician, heal yourself." He said, "What we've heard about you doing in Capernaum, won't you do here at home too?" And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." What is Jesus saying? Well, he's telling very plainly that he is a prophet. He is the prophet. He's that prophet like unto Moses, that Moses told the children of Israel the Lord would raise up from amongst their brethren. And it says here, no prophet is ever accepted in his own country. And right here where I've grown up, in this town here in Nazareth, in this region where you all know me and you're so familiar with me, you're going to go by what you know, you believe you know, and you believe you've seen, and that there's just no way that I can be anything but Joseph's son and a carpenter. And he says this, verse 25, "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias," or Elijah, "when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, of a woman that was a widow. The Lord is saying here that there were a lot of widows that Elijah could have been sent to and worked that miracle of provision, the cruse of oil that never failed, and the container of flour that never failed. But essentially, Elijah, I believe, was sent to a Gentile. The Word of God is not bound, and nor is the Lord is not bound. He does not bind himself to what we think is right and suitable and meet. The Lord brings his word to the meek, to the lowly, and not into those that we think to whom it is due. The Lord's thinking is not like our thinking. Israel was very rebellious at that time of Elijah. Israel had allowed and was of a nature to have a man named Ahab and his wife Jezebel to come to power. And such a leadership coming to power, it was a testimony against the people of the land. They did not hear and obey the word of the Lord. And so when the Lord used Elijah in that day and sent him to a place to be a blessing and to provide for the prophet also, he didn't send him to anybody in Israel, but he sent him to a Gentile. It says here, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, the prophet, which is talking about Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And so Jesus is saying here, you may think that a prophet of the Lord should do for you because it's due you. But the thing is you need to receive the word of the Lord and be humbled rather than thinking that you have just something due you of the Lord. You need to see your terrible and sinful and wicked condition and to be humbled before the Lord rather than being proud before the Lord. And so he puts these two things on the people there in Nazareth about their disbelief in who he is and going by what they see and think they know rather than what they hear from him. And let's see what it does for them. In verse 28, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. These religious folks in the synagogue, when Jesus tells them about what the Lord the Father had done in centuries past, about the sending of a prophet, the sending of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gives these examples of things that have happened in the past because of the unbelief of the people, do they repent? Do they melt before the Lord and say, that's true, that's right? No. They take it as an offense, and they are filled with wrath. And it says, all they that are in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city. So they grab a hold of Jesus in his own hometown and throw him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They're going to take Jesus and kill him. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum. a city of Galilee, up there on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Verse 32, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Why? Because it was the truth. It was the truth. So what do we see here with Jesus and those of his own hometown? He is essentially, from the human standpoint, in exile from his hometown. By the words that he has spoken there in the synagogue on this day, near the very beginning of his ministry, he has been an offense to his entire hometown. Now, has Jesus lied in any way? No. Has Jesus told the truth? Yes. Is their rejection of Jesus a real thing? Yes. Because, see, they think that they know everything about the Lord. And here they've had the Son of God living in their midst, and they've missed it because they think he's Joseph's son. And when he speaks, remember, there's no beauty in the Lord Jesus that we should desire him. Isaiah speaks about that. So Jesus, physically, in his appearance, was not a man that stood out. He's not a man that brought attention to himself. But when he spoke, there was a difference. It says right here, when he went to Capernaum, his word was with power. And there his word in Nazareth was with power. And rather than submitting to the word of God, the word of God the Son, they rejected it. They rejected it there in Nazareth, just like the folks in Elijah's day rejected it. They rejected it in the day, there in Nazareth, just like they rejected the word of the Lord in Elisha's day. How about you? Where do you stand with the word of God? Do you receive and believe the word of God? What God has said is true and nothing else matters, no matter what it looks like to you, no matter what you think or you conjure up in your heart and mind. Do you believe the word of God above and beyond all? Well, that's what it takes. That's what it takes to be saved. That's what it takes to be rescued, to take God's side against yourself. And the people of Nazareth were not willing to do that. Rather than cry out for mercy from the Lord and say, oh, Lord, it's true what you say, and we need the word of God. We need you. We need your coming. See, he's read from him out of Isaiah about the Messiah, and that has told them in a pretty direct way that he is the Christ. And what do? They reject him because they think they know better than what the Word of God has been. Remember, they said, and all bear witness and wondered, in verse 22, of the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. They heard those gracious words, but they were in conflict about what they thought about Jesus. I pray that you would hear the word of the Lord, that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the only one, that you would repent of your sins before God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And totally bail out on what this world says and what your old flesh and your old mind conjures up about Christ, and trust in him and his word and his truth. Well, see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Rill Creek.
We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.almstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Almsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.